You know that familiar refrain. It's Killer Joe by Art Farmer and Benny Golson and their jazz tet. Benny Golson is on tenor sax, Curtis Fuller on trombone, McCoy Tyner on piano, Art Farmer is on bass, and Lex Humphreys is on drums. This is from their 1960 album, Reaching Back, but it's good stuff. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. I try my best to let you know why we call it Free Your Mind Friday. It means that we are suspending our regular program format so as to provide an open forum for those of you wanting to express your opinion in a free form. And you make your points. This is why we gradually up the ante, basically encouraging you to use the medium, but first you have to understand it. How does it work? What works best for you? So you present an opinion about some issue that is important to you, very important to you, and you make your points. Now, it, of course, will invite reaction, but it's not important for you to think about. That should not dominate your thinking. What you should be thinking more than anything else is getting your job done, relaying the information, and then let the chips fall where they may. People may agree, or they may disagree, or they may have a difference of opinion with your opinion, but that isn't a big deal. That's how life works. All right, the number to call is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. All right, let's start off with our familiar friend from Berkeley, Harvey. You're on the air. How are you doing?
Great, fantastic, Utrice, and may the healing powers of the universe surround you and your vast audience.
Thank you for that. That's a good thought.
We all love you. Well, today I'd like to talk about Halloween, which is coming up at the end of the month. And I remember when I was a kid, we used to go trick-or-treating, and I'd end up with a big bag of candy. And when we got home, me and my sisters would gorge ourselves on the candy, and my parents would also eat their share of the Halloween booty. The trouble with eating all of that candy is that most of it contains sucrose, possibly the most famous of the refined sugars. Unfortunately, sucrose inhibits the body's immune system for up to 6 hours, leaving a person prone to infection and sickness. It also happens that viruses thrive on sugar. It's their source of energy. So sucrose inhibits the immune system while feeding viruses. And with the COVID pandemic disrupting our everyday lives, the last thing we want to do is see more COVID infections amongst our country's stressed out men, women, and children. So here's a NPR headline dated October 12th, 2021. Get the candy bowl ready, Dr. Fauci says. Halloween is a go this year. Trick-or-treating, which was canceled last year, will go ahead this season, according to the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Here's another recent headline from the New York Times. Dr. Fauci says, enjoy Halloween. Some towns have canceled the celebration, but Dr. Fauci says outdoor trick-or-treating is perfectly safe. So based on what Fauci has done to encourage the consumption of refined sugar like sucrose across our nation, I expect to see a big COVID spike after Halloween. So the question is, why, oh, why is Dr. Anthony Fauci putting so many people, especially young people, in harm's way? Is it all for more money for Big Pharma? Thank you, Trice.
Thank you, Harvey, for your opinion. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going today, Utrice? I wanted to ask you, first of all, could you repeat the title of that song we heard at the top of the show. I was trying to get headphones in, and I heard
Killer,
you just
Killer finished. Joe. Killer Joe.
Killer Joe. Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah, I just want to, I hate to be a one-trick pony. I hate to be repetitive or redundant, so forgive me if I repeat myself in any of my comments I might have made previously on the program, but I really think that we have a battle on our hands, and a lot of people are awake to it, but not enough, and a lot of people have really just bought in the strangest way that almost resembles hypnosis. It's almost like you're witnessing an atrocity sidewalk, and the person standing next to you is just acting like they don't see it. And then you say, hey, do you see what's going on right there? It's really terrible. And they don't hear you either. It's like they don't see it and they don't hear you. And you're wondering, what happened to my friend? Like, when did you get so disoriented and become so insensitive? And, you know, I think we really need to realize that once they announced in California, and I live in New York, but, you know, I try to stay as aware of what's happening in the nation and the world as well as possible. When they announced in California, when Newsom announced that these mandatory vaccines are going to now extend to K through 12 schooling, that you cannot attend school as a kindergartner if you haven't gotten a COVID vaccine, that was a threat to all parents and to all children. And it has not been reacted to. And I've asked other parents about it. I kind of just poked around on social media. And I'm just so amazed at the apathy in regard to this question of the safety of children. And I keep asking, well, you know, how many children have died of COVID to justify a sweeping medical intervention in the bodies of young children? And they just come up with mindless answers like, well, one is too many. Well, I agree. One single death is tragic, but you don't make sweeping social policy based on that. So, you know, it's just really incredible to me that, you know, there's this whole notion of misinformation that's been such a repetitive theme. I think that was like on a list of words and phrases in a boardroom that had to be repeated by the public. They said, okay, here are the words we're going to get people to use: anti-science, anti-vaxxer, conspiracy theorist, safe and effective. And it's like people are just like little parrots just popping out these phrases throughout the course of the day, even when they don't apply whatsoever. And, you know, I think it's really a shame because the problem isn't misinformation. The problem is lack of clear information. We won't have a problem with misinformation and all these comments that someone might say over here and over there if you can answer these questions clearly. But when you leave things up in the air and unclear and make contradictory statements, well, that opens up the door for quote unquote misinformation. And a lot of things actually I'm noticing are being dismissed as misinformation. And in fact, you couldn't realistically describe some of what they're saying as misinformation because some of these things are hypothetical. So for example, when Dr. Robert Malone says we may experience a rash of ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement, in reaction to these gene-based vaccines, you can't say that's misinformation because that remains to be seen. And if he's wrong, well, then it was an incorrect hypothesis. It wasn't misinformation. So, you know, that's my last theme for today is we don't need to worry about misinformation if there's clear information being presented, which is not. What are your thoughts, Eugene?
Correct. Thank you for contributing today. 888-874-4888. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hi.
I'm glad to hear from Jeremiah and Harvey. I'm so glad that Harvey brought up the sugar thing because it's you know, my sister has cancer and she eats tons of sugar. And she can't get I can't get her to understand the correlation. You know, it's only sugar. So I'm glad that he brought that up, and I'm glad that Jeremiah called in, because I think one of the things I've noticed most about discussing the vaccine is how so many people think are only talking from the perspective that they heard in the very beginning of the disease. And that's why, to me, I tune in every day and listen to Gary Noel, because this disease, these studies, they're all coming in fresh every day. There's new information every single day. And if you're not listening to that, then you're not getting it. Things are evolving with this, with the information that is available. And so I was on a very progressive radio show the other night, and I heard a man go on, you know, he was talking about Cuba and the fabulous healthcare there. And, you know, that was all well and fine until the end, because he had heard me speak earlier in the show about the vaccine. We were talking on a show. It was a show dedicated to Lynn Stewart, the civil rights lawyer, who is a magnificent lawyer. And her husband has a show. And, you know, I brought up the idea, I wonder what Lynn would think today if she heard that people were being told that they mandatorily had to put this vaccine in their body, which is not even a vaccine, still in the experimental phases, and that you would not be allowed to work if you don't take it. You won't be allowed to go to certain restaurants if you don't take it, or actually any restaurants. You won't be able to go into stores or movies if you don't take it. I wonder what she would have thought about that as a civil rights attorney. And this is what's so baffling to me. This disease is not a political football, and I don't know why it's become a political football. The only thing it is whether or not it's, you know, it's been man-made, and why is the big push for this vaccine? I mean, why are people being asked to take hundreds of dollars to take a vaccine? I never saw anything like this. And why don't people think that's weird? I mean, the reaction, it's just like Jeremiah said, why are people acting so crazy? I mean, you know, I sent my sister some vitamins the other day, and she told me she had to call, you know, every doctor she knew in order to make sure those vitamins were okay. And yet, she readily turned up her sleeve and stuck that thing in her arm and never asked what was in the vaccine, has no idea what she put in her body, but she heard it on Rachel Maddow, so it must be okay, which goes back to TV and the media being the largest spreader of propaganda. If you really want to take a nation down or a world down, the best thing to do is get it on TV. So anyway, just going back to the Cuba guy, I just wanted to say that at the end he kind of admonished me in his comments as being a person, not personally me, but just saying that people need to realize who are not taking the vaccine, that even if they don't have symptoms, they are a threat on society. And if they really cared about society and they really cared about other people, they would go in and take that shot. Now, this is really interesting to me because this man spoke from such an authoritative position. He knows about medicine, he knows about systems, and yet he didn't know that, in fact, the number that the CDC, first of all, has said, has revised their statement saying that it's not really, you can't give somebody the virus if you don't have symptoms. And when they did their tests and put that out there, they said that 0.7% of people that don't have any symptoms would be able to share this. And that's virtually nobody. And the problem is that because the only thing people listen to is the hysteria on all the major networks and even Amy Goodman in the morning, nobody's bothering to listen to the many scientists and doctors on the – I don't know why this is sides. I don't know why there's two sides of this issue. To me, it should be that we're trying to find out, you know, more information, and the information evolves every day, and everybody should be listening to all the information. But in fact, we get one line on your TV every single day. It hasn't really changed in the last 2 years. Nobody's letting the audience know about the latest studies, what else they're finding out, and it's just really frustrating. And I agree with Jeremiah. I feel like I had a friend just basically hang up the phone on me because I gave her that information about how low the percentages is and what the CDC say that it's not really relevant anymore to worry about people that are asymptomatic. They really cannot give this to you. But people seem to think that it's on their TV, so it has to be true. And I just think that it's really a dangerous place to be in our society. So I just wanted to, you know, piggyback on that conversation because I agree, and I'm really, really also so afraid of what else they're going to start doing to people, because they keep coming out with, you know, not quite revealing what they want to do. But, you know, Biden said again last night, everyone in this country has to take this vaccine, has to. I want to know what's next. I don't want to know what's next, because I have a feeling what's next is, you know, separating us from the regular population. And that would be very, very terrifying to have happen. And I just think it's a shame that the whole, you know, our whole society is asleep at the wheel, and they don't even seem to be interested in what's in this vaccine, what they're putting in their body. And it just, they don't care. As long as they hear it on TV, all's good over here. All good on the Eastern Front.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gwen, for contributing today. Let's see how people react to what you say. 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday, and you can free your mind. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon, E. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm just going to piggyback off what Harvey started out with the sugar thing. Yeah, we've been so conditioned to eat sugar from the time we're born. And in fact, if you remember back, I don't know what it was, in the 70s, the 80s, there was a term coined that was crack babies. Babies born to mothers that were addicted to crack or heroin, the babies were then born addicted to these substances also. So I think most of the baby boomers, their mothers probably ate sugar while they were pregnant with the baby boomer boys and girls. And when we were born, we were probably already addicted to sugar. Our first day on the planet, we're addicted to sugar. And then we're given all these holidays to celebrate so we can eat all kinds of bad foods. And it's a sugar thing. On Easter, the big bunny rabbits and Christmas with all the candy canes and the sugary treats, and it goes from one holiday to the next. We just keep stuffing it into our faces. We can't get enough of it. You go to the dentist for an examination. I remember back in the 50s, at the end, they give you a lollipop. You go to the barbershop, you get a hit, they give you a lollipop. Sugar, sugar, sugar is being pushed on us from the time we're born to the time we die. It's a disgrace. And then the conditioning, what Gwen was saying about her sister-in-law goes to the doctor and never asks any questions about what's being stuck into her arm. Yeah, because that was another conditioning. We got conditioned into trusting doctors and believing everything they say and never questioning anything because they know better than us. We're not the doctors. They're the doctors, and they know everything. And that's why we don't question nothing, because we've been conditioned into that from the time we're born. Ben Casey, Dr. Kildare, we're told doctors are the best. We have to believe everything they tell us. Marcus Welby, I could go down a list that just endless shows of how doctors were so great. I remember back in the 50s, the doctor would come and make house calls and make you feel oh so good. They came and give you this test and that, listen to your heart. Oh, everything is put into their hands. Well, that's just a few comments I had about sugar to go along with everybody else's Free Your Mind Friday day.
Oh, thank you very much. And I hope you feel better now that you said it.
I feel great now. I'm ready to start my day now.
Thanks, E, for your call today.
Okay.
Jackie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, Eutrice and the listening family. I wanted to compliment you on that wonderful show on Puerto Rico. I had absolutely no knowledge, even though I live in Brooklyn, New York, I had no knowledge of the political issues and the structure in Puerto Rico. And I wanted to raise the question, why should they have to pay taxes if they have no representation? If it's a commonwealth or a territory of the United States, why do they pay taxes? That was one of the issues I wanted to bring up. And I love Harvey's comment about the sugar, starting us off with that. Because that is really, I don't know why, as old as I am, I'm still startled by a lot of things that I hear. That was startling. And then the other show that you had with where you had the different people talking to one another, I thought that was a wonderful format, and it was a great idea. I don't always agree with some of the people who say you should start at the community level. It's not that you shouldn't start at the community level, but it's been my experience that even at the community level, the ruling party even interferes with that. They stomp out or hinder people who try to start, you know, new parties or come up with new ideas. And even if something as small, I shouldn't say small, but even something that is like the school board, that was very political back in the day. I tried to run for the school board many years ago because I couldn't get services for one of my children. And the Kings County Democratic Organization, they came after me to challenge my petitions and knock me off the ballot. So I think her name is Gabby or Zabby.
Zabby, yes.
Yeah, from Long Island. And yes. Also, Ed, I understand and I support their concept, but depending on where you live, that's not as simple as people think it is to say, oh, you can get on, you know, get involved with politics at the grassroots level, because the ones who control all that, they're always watching out for people who are insurgents or coming along, and they view you as a threat to the establishment. I'm not trying to discourage anyone, but that's just my ultimate opinion about that. But you had a wonderful shows all week, and I'm just happy to hear everyone's voice, and I'm happy that everyone's doing as well as can be expected.
Thank you. And I'm happy that people are pushing themselves without feeling, you know, afraid or having problems thinking, should I be occupying this space? Yes, you should. And you should use it well. Understand the medium, get to handle it, and feel very comfortable expressing an opinion in public. And so you become, whether you think of it this way or not, you become an agent of change simply by applying yourself. And that's what we need, everybody being an agent of change. And so you get into the communities and people are familiar with you, and more importantly, you are familiar with them, and we grow this community. And it starts with you just being comfortable expressing an opinion. That's great. Thank you so much.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Gino from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Salutations. Greetings and salutations upon your cranium.
And salutations to you.
Oh, I just got that. Thanks. Thank you. Okay, so I want to sleep good tonight. So I got to offer a piece of advice I got from, or a reminder from, we got to thank my 92-year-old neighbor, Frankie, who's lifting weights now and getting stronger. He gets the newspaper, which I won't buy, at $3 a pop. But I did see a few days ago something pertaining to the New York subway system. Starting Monday until the 18th, until the 29th, they're going to do tests again with what agents, they don't indicate, sprayed through the subway system. And for those who remember, they do simulations of stuff. That was the day of 9/11, the Boston bombing, the bombing in London. Same days they were doing simulations. So if people could avoid the subways, I highly would recommend it, starting Monday the 18th until the 29th, Monday to Friday.
So that's one thing, so I can sleep better tonight. I have a little off my chest, and I can thank Frankie for getting the newspaper. Other than that, as far as the sugar goes, anybody who hasn't read Gloria Swanson's husband, Bill Duffy's book, Sugar Blues, A History of Sugar, right alongside the enslavement trade and how it went from 2 pounds a year to almost 300, and it does kill white blood cells, amongst other things. And so that's true with that. As far as Gwen saying the show before, Dr. McCullough from Texas, the most cited doctor on PubMed, 500 scientific articles. I highly recommend those who didn't hear it to listen to it. The connections with the heads of the FDA going to work for the vaccine companies, the one at the top of the NHI going to work for the Rockefeller Foundation. Need to watch this. And this is an orthodox doctor, and he has his strong warnings, especially pertaining to children. And I know I feel very strongly for Jeremiah having a child there. And I can relate to him with the job situation because I resigned not wanting to get a vaccine in my body that's experimental, and having 18 months of those shows with all these doctors and Nobel Prize winners, I'm not about to do it. So that's covers that. And I think I basically I wanted to just say about, and the lady who called before, welcome aboard to the neighborhood. It's always good to hear an elder on there, and though I'm getting closer to that myself. So I wish you a good weekend, Yatrice, and everybody else out there. So watch out for the subways from the 18th of this month to the 29th. Don't trust them. They didn't indicate what's in the sprays, and so there's so much for the reporting on that. And they've done this thing many times over the years. I don't know why they have to keep repeating it. And especially during the season when now it's the flu shot, and they got they're not going to count the pneumonia and the virus again, the flu, and then of course the booster shots, and you know the dangers of that. And so why they do it at this time of the year? I question that, especially this time of the year. So just be cautionary. If you can avoid the subways, it was in the New York Daily News the other day. I didn't want to recommend them, but I don't buy their paper. It's given to me. Sometimes I use it for the cats. And so that was my reminder.
Well, the cats read as well?
Excuse me? What'd you say?
Your cats read?
No, they do something else on it. Probably.
I'm just pulling your leg. We know what to use it for.
Yeah, they well, sometimes.
Thank you very much, Gino, for calling in today and contributing. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. God bless.
We'll take this break and come back to your freeing of your mind right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. It is Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories, and we're looking to hear from you what's on your mind. Whatever way it falls, let's hear it. I think it's a good idea that you begin to feel very comfortable about expressing your opinions. Whether people agree or disagree, it's not the point. The point is that you can make a cogent presentation centered on the subject of what you're thinking. 888-874-4888 is the number to call, and we are moving on. We have, let's see, Marcus from Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice, and I wanted to thank you. Good afternoon, Yatrice, and I wanted to thank you for being so very generous with your airtime with me a few days ago and allowing me to talk to a couple of your esteemed regular callers. It was a very great pleasure for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
And having said that, I would like to give you a very brief overview. I'll be brief, but I'm going to cover a lot of ground very briefly. I sort of want to track how I came to my view of what I think the current situation really is about in order to maybe give some answer by way of the questions that Sir Jeremiah and Mademoiselle Gwen posed in their calls. At the age of five, I was very fortunate as a small child to spend a lot of time with my grandfather, who was from the just before the World War One generation. He was born in 1889. And at the age of five, he took me to the library for the first time. And he explained to me that it's very important, even before you go to school, to learn how to use the library, because everything you need to know, you can find out there. Librarians will help you do it. And if you can find out the truth about things, no one can ever lie to you. So I started there with that idea. At a very early age, I came across the radical economist Thorstein Veblen, who actually taught in Wisconsin for a while. And he had a series of works, and one of the things he pointed out about capitalism in the 1890s was that under capitalism, eventually everything becomes a commodity to be bought and sold. So he gave the example, for instance, if I can find the price at which you're willing to give up your, say, religious beliefs or your political beliefs, I'll pay you this much if you give it up. Now I can trade it on a market like cotton or corn or coffee. That's what capitalism does. It commodifies everything. Well, I'm interested in structure. And that's why today what we have is medical care is a commodity. Opinions are a commodity. Political parties are a commodity to be bought and sold. Human beings incorporate themselves when they simply provide a service. That's what capitalism does. Now, I think it's important to understand that before March of 2020, to bring you to the present, the system was in collapse, the financial system. All you have to do is go back and read the business press, the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, Business Week, and they'll tell you it was about to collapse. It was in the process. Well, they understood, and there has been a lot of talk for decades about a phrase you're hearing now, the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is based on the insights of lots of technocrats and people from the World Bank and International Monetary Fund and World Economic Forum. And these are very powerful people. These are the people that are combined in all these various groups around the world actually run the international banking system, which is the real government, and policy is just reflected through through politics. So the Great Reset means we have to go to what they want is they have admired for a long time the Chinese social credit system. You see, if you do something the government doesn't like or that business doesn't like, they have, for a communist country, they have lots and lots of billionaires with lots and lots of power. If you do something they don't like, well, it affects your credit score, your social credit score. So you may not be able to travel, or you may not be able to buy certain things, or you may be territorially restricted. So let's put the so-called pandemic in context. Without the pandemic, there's no mandatory vaccine. Without the mandatory vaccine laying the groundwork, you can't have a social credit score. Without a social credit score, you can't have global currency put onto a blockchain. So without that, without the blockchain, you can't have the global digital currency. And without the global digital currency, no Chinese-style social credit system globally. That's the goal. Now, I'm not making this up. You don't have to go to, you know, some kind of nonsensical conspiracy theory group or something. It's right in their own documents and has been for decades. Now, I read this stuff. It's intensely boring. These people are insane. They often call themselves bioethicists. And that's what this is. This is the first steps in a biosecurity state for a social credit system down the line. That's, you have to put this in context. That's why all the rhetoric about the vaccine and the disease, there's asymptomatic transmission, and then there isn't masks, and then there isn't, then we're two masks. It's just nonsense. The population has to be kept in a constant state of fear by an invisible enemy in order for the elites to achieve their goals. We are pawns in a game. Now, to address this, there is no political solution.
Oh, by the way, we have a bunch of people waiting, so
yeah,
you may want to...
That's all I wanted to lay out.
But guess what? It is heavy.
It is heavy.
It's a heavy thought. And I would like to discuss with you developing it into a full-fledged presentation, and we'll see where it goes, how people react to it. But it is a remarkable, insightful presentation, and I thank you for it today, giving
thank
us just
much.
Even this little
I'm
taste.
Certainly open to your idea, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Marcus, for calling in.
Thank
Brother
you.
David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon.
What is on my mind at this time today is what I see as a trillion-dollar coup by the ruling class here, especially the pharmaceutical group, in what they call public relations, which is really propaganda, and doing what they're doing to prepare people to be universally vaccinated. And I have never talked to so many people who have closed minds. Every day I talk with people, and I've talked with people with numerous academic credentials, and I've never seen so many closed minds in my life. They are completely sold on what the ruling class is having in store to make that $1 trillion from dealing vaccines, so-called, to the mass of people, regardless of the efficacy of those vaccines. So that's one thing, because I run into this and I can't believe that so many people have completely closed their minds to anything different than the propaganda that's being served to them. The other thing that's on my mind today is what happened this week on the program when people were talking about politics. To me, we have a situation where the masses of people in the African American community in this country have nowhere to go. So they, whatever the Democrats are doing, they have to go along with it, because they feel they have nowhere to go. So many people need to think about the wisdom of going along with people who are the better of the two evils, as they say. We've got to stop that. And we may be able to do something at a more local level, at the city level or the state level. And I have some suggestions. The first suggestion, we should drive into those people that we are giving those votes to, is go to the state legislature and get them to do those restrictions that keep other parties from being on the ballot. We ought to remove those restrictions that require thousands and thousands of signatures to just get on the ballot, to make it near impossible for most people to rally together enough signatures to get on the ballot. That's the first thing. And that would make a bit, we can demand that. If you're going to ask us to vote for you in the Democrat Party in New York State, you got to remove those restrictions. And I think the people ought to start thinking about forming other parties. And another thing I would throw in with the black community, they should go to the legislature and demand that automatics ability to practice law in the state be restored. Why are they not mentioning that? Why? What's the point in the black community? Someone can take away something like someone like automatics, and you do nothing about it, and you just go business as usual voting for the Democratic Party. So if they see you as nowhere, as having nowhere else to go, they can still, the Democrats can do just what they want to do. So those are two suggestions, and I would recommend that people ought to start thinking also about taking care of business in the local community, in the schools. My experience, why good programs in our schools have been removed, like the flight program that was at Wingate High School in Brooklyn. And no one complains about it. When I left, they just took it away because I wasn't there anymore, and no one stepped in to demand that they continue a program like this that has benefited the community and established a situation where hundreds of people have had the opportunity to become pilots. So just those are on my mind as a few things, and that's where I stand today.
Thank you very much for contributing them and placing them before us for consideration. Thank you. And action, even more importantly. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Patrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed, how are you doing?
You know me and my phone, so we're still here, still hanging. as far as direct action, I just wanted to state today that I went to my basic poll worker training this morning. It was a three-hour class on Queens Boulevard, New York City, 118-75 Queens Boulevard. And this is the first time I've ever attempted to work on the other side as far as voting and exercising the franchise. And just for your information, it is a hot mess. The training is not adequate at all. And I can see why there was so much problems, specifically pertaining to ranked choice voting and the procedures. And this is going to be an interesting endeavor. I haven't been assigned yet, but the initial training is not up to par as far as my personal opinion is concerned. And I think that is one of the reasons why the voting process is so difficult in New York. The people that were running the training were not adequate. Their explanations were vague. And I've got to really sit down and read this manual so I can be effective as a poll worker. But I just wanted to present that to the New York audience, basically. Watch out when you go to vote, because it's going to be a hot mess, in my opinion.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it. Have a good day.
Okay. Okay. We've been warned. We can't say we didn't know. Okay. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Good afternoon.
And how is your health?
It's healthy. It's coming along. I'm living with it.
I wish that your health continues to improve. I just wanted to make a very brief comment and just add to what I think Mr. Ed was saying maybe a week or two ago about the shots. They're not vaccines. We all know that. But the key is what they're trying to do is get a chip in us, and they're trying to work on bringing about the great reset where everything is cashless. In the chip, they'll just be able to follow you wherever you go. They already can do that by the telephones. But I just, your audience already noticed, I mean, my classmates, but I just want to let them know the purpose of these vaccines, not vaccine shots, is to get that chip in you so they can start this great reset.
You know, we've talked about this before. Where's your proof?
Well, just listen to WBAI, not so much WBAI, but Gary Knowles.
I asked for your proof. Where's your proof that they are inserting, while they supposedly are vaccinating people, they are inserting chips into their bodies? You see, when you do things like this, and I've said it to you many times before, to break you out of a habit of just taking in things and accepting them as real and true and 100% the case. But when I ask you, what is your proof of that? Where is there proof of that?
Okay.
You can't very produce proof.
Okay, very good point. Now, Yatrice, I'm just going to go back to 2008. Part of the vaccine, and they brought out the premium of the Bilderberg Group, and that was done by Dane Whittington. And prior to him sitting at the Bilderberg Group, he had Bill Gates on there saying that he needed to reduce the world's population, or we need to, and he said he was going to do it by vaccines. Now, if anyone who ordered that DVD, the Bilderberg Group, prior to Daniel Estulin coming on, he had Bill Gates on there saying that. And you're right about having the proof. Next time I'll do it. I'm doing my homework now.
The fact is, I would even ask it of Bill Gates. Bill Gates has been saying a lot of things without proof. People just accept, he's a guy in the know. So he has information that most people do not have. So we should, take him at his word. No.
Okay. Let me say this then. Bill Gates took them vaccines over to, not vaccines, those shots to India. They paralyzed a lot of children.
How do you know this to be fact?
Okay. I can't think of the young lady's name right now.
No, that's not the fact. That's a young lady's name. How do you know that the allegation that you just made is fact? This is a constant issue with you, Mohammed. The more you absorb these things because they appeal to you, they're salacious, they're hot. But are they true? And you have an obligation before you begin to put it out there into the world, and people may be affected by it, people may believe it. Your job, once you have a piece of information like that you intend to move into other realms in order to affect people's knowledge, it is your job to verify. You can't repeat things like that.
Okay.
You can't do that. That is irresponsible. And it keeps you stunted because you become the perfect foil, as many other people are. They like the sound. It sounds really crazy. It sounds really newsworthy. And they just put it out there. Okay, now let's sit down and talk about facts. Where are your facts?
Okay, I accept that. Thank you. Okay. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Muhammad, and you have a good weekend too. But please, train yourself to ask the question, where is this information coming from? How is it authenticated? And why? Okay. Because you become an unwitting helpmate into spreading propaganda when you do that. When you don't insist that you must be presented with facts, you must find out what the truth is before you in turn pass this so-called information on without testing, without verification. You are being used. And that's not being fair to yourself. You have to have some kind of integrity that allows you to say, I don't take, you know, into my brain, I don't permit things to go into my head that don't pass the smell test. Show me your facts and let me go do some more research and satisfy myself. Well, this sounds plausible. I see corroboration in this place and in that place, in this article and so in that book. But don't, please, I beg you, do not repeat these things, especially in public. Don't repeat things that you yourself haven't tested and asked others in a position to know to test it with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Rachel from New York, you're going to close us out today. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice, and to the PRN family. I will make this
thank
brief.
You.
I just want to make a brief comment. Me personally, I really feel that people don't really understand what is truly at stake here. And for me, it's spiritual and humanity. We're getting to a point, this is beyond vaccines to me, because when you get to a point where you are making people choose between their livelihood and their health, this is beyond, it's about our rights. Because to me, as a human being, I don't have no say into what goes in my body. You're also dictating how history is being taught in our schools, whether how you feel about whether you're pro-choice, you're pro-life. Our humanity is at stake here. And I really hope people understand what is really going on here. And I agree with Brother David. This is always and will always be about, this is and will always be about money and power. And it's really sad. And we're getting to a point, we're going down a dangerous road right now. This country, where there's no more democracy. There is no democracy. Like I said, our choices as a human being are being threatened. And people need to understand there's a bigger picture at stake here. And that's all I had to say. And it's going to be a spiritual and a war of spirituality and humanity. And that's all I have to say this afternoon. Thank you.
Well, that's a powerful statement, Rachel, and thank you for contributing. Thank you all for contributing and making the program useful. This is what it's for, to put in public what it is you're thinking and why you're thinking what you're thinking. It is the weekend. Give yourselves a break. Go to your families and reacquaint yourselves with them. You know, sometimes you forget, oh yes, that's my child right there. That's my boy. That's my little girl over there. Get to know them and let them know that you are thinking of them all the time. And find a place of rest, absolute peace and quiet, where you can recompose yourself and become ready for battle next week. Thanks so much. Let's talk again on Monday. Bye-bye.